Hello, my name is Carol and I'm a member of the 10 AM congregation. I'll be reading God's word today, so please grab your Bible or device and read along with me. We'll be reading Psalm 91 together. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that skulks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him home. With lifelong will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would teach us the meaning of those words. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, so sweet to take him at his word. And we pray that as we look at your word right now, that we would take you at your word and you would write it upon our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've noticed something about myself as I've gotten older, that the older I get, I've realized there's more to worry about. I used to be so carefree. There was little anxiety, little stress, but the older I got, there's more in life to worry about. And you know, when you get older, you start to worry about your health. The older you get, you worry about what you're putting into your body. You worry more about your future and your finances. And I've even started to worry about the bills that I haven't even received yet. I mean, I've got a son, right? Enough said. And the psalm that we're going to look at right now is a psalm to help us to stop worrying. Psalm 91 is sometimes called a psalm of protection because Jews would read this psalm right before they went to bed. It's also called the soldier's psalm because soldiers and service personnel would often carry a copy of this scripture with them when they were deployed into areas of armed conflict. There's a story from the life of that Baptist preacher, Charles Spurgeon. In 1854, when he'd been in London for only a year, and the area of the city that he was in was visited by cholera. And many in his church were affected by this disease, and there were so many families who had one person in their family that got sick. And so many people died. And Spurgeon spent most of his ministry at this time visiting the sick and going with them, with families to the graveyard. And eventually Spurgeon just got so overwhelmed and so emotionally and physically exhausted by the pastoral care that he was ready to sink under the weight of the ministry. And one day he was returning home from a funeral, and as he was walking down Dover Road, he saw on the on the shoemaker's shop some of the words of Psalm 91, and his heart rose and he felt secure and he felt a peace about visiting the dying. He felt a calmness in his spirit, and it was such an encouragement to him. And I hope that this will be encouraging to you as we look at this right now. Oh, and by the way, I've got to tell you, this is the devil's favorite psalm. The devil quotes verse 11 and verse 12 to Jesus when Jesus is in the desert. And this psalm is used by the devil in a twisted way. And whenever the devil quotes the Bible, he twists it. And so we better make sure that as we look at it, we don't twist it. We better make sure that our understanding of this psalm is right and that we rightly understand what it means to trust God. See, what this psalm is about, it's about the security of the person who trusts in God. And one feature of this psalm is that it moves from the psalmist speaking personally to urging us to trust in God, to finally we hear God speak, we hear God's voice. And so let's listen to this psalm. Let's refresh our faith as we look at three things that this psalm teaches us about trusting God. It'll teach us what it means to have a personal trust in God. It'll teach us about having a secure trust in God, and then we'll see God's response to our trust. So first, a personal trust in God, verses 1 to 2. Look at how this psalm starts. Verse 1, it says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." See, it's all about the security of the person who trusts in God. I mean, look at the images that are used of God. There's four pictures of God that are used here. God is a shelter in verse 1. God is our shade or our shadow in verse 1. You know, in a hot climate, when the sun is lethal and there's shade from the heat, he says God is our refuge in verse 2. He says God is my fortress. See, picture after picture, he's saying to us that God is secure. He's our protector. There's safety, there's security when you trust in this God. And he also gives us four different names of God. See what God is called here? Verse 1, God is called the Most High. He's called, in verse 1, the Almighty. In verse 2, he's called the Lord or Yahweh. And then he's called my God in verse 2. He's talking about the God of Israel, Yahweh. He's higher than anyone else. He's not an almighty God, he's the almighty. But see, do you know what? It's one thing to say that God is like this, but it's an entirely different thing to say that I know this God personally. And that's what the psalmist does. He makes it personal. He says, I know this God. Look at verse 2 again. He says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. See, it's personal. He's got a personal trust in this God. He knows this God in his own experience. It's personal. And look, you know, sometimes Christians are not very good at talking about their own personal trust in the Lord. I think us Anglicans are a bit like this. You know, we're good at talking about theology and talking about, you know, this is what God's like. But, you know, there has to come a time when if you're a follower of Jesus, you have to say, this is my God and I trust him and I know this to be true about him. In my experience, I mean, some of the great hymns express this so well. Listen to these words. Safe in the shadow of the Lord, beneath his hand and power, I trust in him. I trust in him, my fortress and my tower. Or how about this hymn? Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I've learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that he is with me, will be with me to the end. Is that how you talk? That's how the psalmist talks. Are you doing this? Are you clinging to him? Do you run into the arms of God at all times? Or do you just, you know, occasionally run into his arms when you need him? Are you relying upon him in every single aspect of your life, or only, you know, some aspects of your life? Are you relying upon him in the big things and the little things? Are you relying upon him in your singleness, in your marriage, in your finances, in your health? Do you take refuge in the shadow of the Almighty? What I'm asking you is this personal for you? You know, we're very good at worrying and we're not very good at trusting. We like to solve our own problems and we think worry solves our problems, or we like to go to the self-help books, or we go to others for advice, or we turn to the idols of pleasure and materialism and holidays and escapism, and we aren't very good at running into the arms of God. You know, a friend of mine, a wonderful Christian brother, said to me when I was having a time of my life, when I was having the time of my life, I was in Athens, I was courting Christy, I was being shown around a beautiful city and swimming in the ocean and snorkeling and having the time of my life. And he said to me, Dave, make sure you cling to God in the good times and not just the bad times. And he was absolutely right. And is that what you do? Do you cling to him in the good times as well as the bad times? Is it personal to you? Cling to him. Make it personal. Because what the psalmist does next is he tells you what you can expect if you trust him. That's the second thing. What does it mean to trust him? He describes to us a secure trust in him. And in verses 3 to 13 of this psalm, he uses the word you a lot because he's calling upon you to have this trust. This is an advertisement about why you should trust. Verse 3 sets the tone. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from deadly pestilence. I mean, he's saying, why wouldn't you trust this God? Of course, this God will save you from your enemies. He'll save you from disease. And he talks about God's character, verse 4. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. It's a lovely image of God, isn't it? It's the image of a mother bird who protects her young by spreading her wings over them. It's so tender. It's the image that Jesus used when he spoke of Jerusalem. He said, I'd love to gather you under my wings as a hen protects her chicks. It's a picture of tenderness and intimacy and love and protection. But it's also a picture of strength. I mean, he says his faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. It's the image of the warrior's armor, the shield. Faithfulness is our shield. And what's involved here is that this God is faithful to his promises. This God is true to his word. When we believe in God's word and we act as though we believe that what God says he will do, then we find him to be a shield. We find him to be our safety from danger. He's a wall against our enemies. And what's really surprising about these verses is the scope of the protection that's mentioned here. Verse 5 says, there's no terror of night. There's no fear of the arrow. There's no fear of the pestilence or the plague. There's no danger, enemies, no diseases. Verse 8, we're told that the wicked will be punished, but not you. There's no harm or disaster at all in verse 10. It's so far-reaching. You won't even stub your toe. I mean, look at verse 11. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They'll lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You won't even stub your toe. There's no harm. There's no disaster. There's no sickness. It goes so far. It seems to be saying that if you trust God, your life will go well. And it implies the opposite. If your life is not going well, it's because you're not trusting God. I mean, that's what it feels like it's saying, doesn't it? I mean, the devil quoted this psalm to Jesus. He told him in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus was in the desert. He said, Jesus, if you jump from the highest point of this temple and if you fall down, these angels will catch you and you'll be safe. And see, the devil wants you to think that if God lets you suffer, then that must mean that God can't be trusted. And he wants you to think if you're suffering, it's because you're not trusting God. See, the devil wants you to be deeply disappointed in God. He doesn't want you to know the promises of God. He wants you to be bitter at God. And that's why he twists scripture. See, the forces of darkness want you to misread this psalm. And I've got to tell you, it's really bad theology to say that God won't ever let you get hurt. It's the same bad theology of Job's friends. You know, when Job's friends say to Job, Job, the reason you're suffering is because you must have done something bad or you mustn't be trusting enough. I mean, I've met Christians who have this kind of theology. I've heard Christians who say that the reason that you're experiencing this pain is because, well, you haven't prayed enough, or you aren't really trusting God enough, or you don't really believe that God can do this. It's really bad theology, friends, and because it doesn't match up with the rest of the Bible. I mean, look at the apostles. The apostles in the book of Acts, when they preached the gospel, they were flogged, they were martyred, they were persecuted. What happened to the protection? I mean, in Luke 22, we're told Jesus promises his followers that they will be betrayed by members of their own family and some of them will be put to death. I mean, if you're going to follow Jesus, the promise is that you will suffer. How can we understand this psalm against the rest of the Bible? How do we see what this psalm is saying? Well, we need to pay attention to the whole of the psalm. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, he will call on me, I will answer him. Look at these words. I will be with him in trouble. You see the promise? The promise is not that we will get out of the trouble. The promise is that he will be with us in the trouble. You see, this isn't just about believing in God and coming to him when danger threatens. You know what it's about? It's about resting in God always and trusting him at all times and living my life in God and knowing that he is the God who is with me in the muck. It's the words of Romans 8. You know, that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You might go through persecution, you might go through the sword, and God will still love you and be with you. It's knowing that God has defeated your greatest enemies and you have nothing to fear. Look at verse 13. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, you will trample the great lion and the serpent. I mean, wait a minute, isn't the devil called the serpent? And isn't he called the roaring lion seeking to devour? Oh, the devil forgot to quote that verse, didn't he, to Jesus? How convenient. He left that one out. But see, Jesus has defeated our greatest enemy. He's defeated sin, death, and the devil through his death on the cross. Here's what John Calvin says. He says, when we look back on our life from the perspective of eternity, we're going to see that the power of Satan was so great, that the weakness of our flesh was feeble, that the hostility of the world was so strong, that every day of our lives, if God had not intervened, we would never have made it through a day. This psalm is about the God who intervenes and helps us make it through a day. And so, what's challenging you right now? Is it making you rely upon God, or is it making you resent God? Because the devil wants you to resent God. He wants you to think that, he wants you to be bitter at God. But see, when the challenges of life chase us into the arms of God, then Satan loses and we win. Of course, this doesn't mean that if you trust God, then you'll be immune from disease and suffering. You know, Christians who trust God still die. Christians who trust God still get sick and they suffer. But please know this, how many Christians do you know whom God has rescued from suffering? How many Christians do you know that have been rescued from the cancer? I know four recently who have been rescued from cancer. A few years ago, my own father had a heart attack and he was rescued from that through medical intervention. God used an open heart surgery to save his life. Hi, Dad. I say that because he watches the video. But do you remember that when Jesus was quoted this psalm, that God intervened and he rescued him through his angels who ministered to him in the wilderness? See, God can rescue us. And the promise is that God is with us in our troubles. And for us, it's about simply trusting him. So what's finally God's response to those who trust him? Well, in the final verses of this psalm, it reaches a climax. Listen to these words as God speaks. Verse 14. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now God speaks. The I is God. And it's nice when someone tells you to trust God. You know what's even better? What's even better is when God tells you why he's trustworthy. Notice what's being promised here. Notice how many times that God says, I will. See what he says? He says, I will rescue, I will protect, I will answer, I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver, I will honor, I will satisfy, I will show. It's all I. It's about what God will do. Notice what God will do. He will rescue, he will protect. If you're someone who has trusted God, you know this. You know that one of the greatest blessings of being a Christian is that God answers your prayers. He will answer. He may not give you what you want, but he will give you what's best. He will answer. And he shows us his salvation. You know, his answer, as I said a few weeks ago, Jonathan Evans, who said at his mother's funeral, he says, God's answer to our prayers is either yes or yes. You know, he might answer your prayer now in the immediate, but he'll answer your prayer in glory. And you'll see that he does rescue, he will protect, he does answer. I will be with you in the distress. I will deliver, I will honor, I will satisfy, I will show. God's answer to our prayers is always yes. And notice again, verse 15, I will be with him in trouble. It doesn't say we will have no troubles, but what it says is that this God will be with us in the muck. Now, friends, again, who is this for? It's for everybody who trusts in God, everybody who loves him. See, when does this assurance come? It comes when he calls those who call upon him. All our troubles are under his care. Now, as Christians, we read this knowing more than this psalmist knew. We read this having the promises of the New Testament screaming in our ears. It reminds me of Romans chapter 10, verse 13, which says, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." It's for anyone and for everyone who calls upon the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be saved from now and to eternity. And as Christians, we read this psalm on the other side of the cross because we know that Jesus is the one who has died for the wicked. Verse 9, "If you say the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling," this is the extraordinary protection of God. You know, that 10,000 may fall, but you who trust in Jesus, you're protected because the Lord is your dwelling place. The Lord is the place, the Lord Jesus Christ is the place that we hide to be sheltered from the judgment that is coming. On the day when the wicked will be punished, verse 9, "The Lord is your refuge. You will be safe." God has only two answers to your prayers, yes and yes. Either he'll save you from the physical harm now or you'll be saved in all eternity in glory. See, the one that you run to is Jesus. He's our great protector. You know, the Indian evangelist Sundar Singh, he wrote about a devastating forest fire in the Himalayas where he was traveling. And many were trying to fight it, and a group of men were looking up at a tree with flames climbing up to the branches, and they were watching a mother bird flying frantically in circles above that tree, and, you know, she was chirping out an alarm for her nest that was full of her babies. And as the nest began to burn, the mother bird didn't fly away. Instead, you know what she did? She zoomed down and she covered her chicks with her wings. And in seconds, her nestlings were safe and she was burned to ashes. And Singh said to the spectators, you know, we've witnessed today a marvelous thing. God created that bird with such love and devotion that she gave her life trying to protect her young. That's the love that brought God down from heaven to become a man. That is the love that made him suffer a painful death for our sake. See, Psalm 91 it's a very special psalm, and it's been committed to heart by thousands of people, and millions have turned to it with thankfulness in the midst of life's calamities, and I hope you're encouraged by this psalm as well. Let me pray for us. Oh, Father, you are our great protector. You were the protector for Noah. You were the protector for Lot. You were the protector for Moses. You were the protector for David when he went out to fight that giant. And you are, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are our protector. You, through his death, have defeated our enemies. And Father, we pray that we would trust you and see how sweet it is to trust you and to take you at your word and to rest upon your promises and to be able to say, thus says the Lord. Oh, Father, help us to trust you. In Jesus' name. Amen.